You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
When we think of precious minerals, we typically picture diamonds, gold, or bronze. What we don't picture is sand, and yet sand has become one of the most sought-after commodities of the modern world. The increased scarcity of it has led to an incredible surge in demand, which, in turn, has seen the sand mining and transport industry become one of the largest in the world. Demand for sand is fueled by a global urbanization boom, as developing countries begin to expand and modernize their cities. In China alone, Shanghai, which has expanded to include 7 million new residents since 2000, has seen 1,500 miles of road, over 500 high-rises, and more than 100 skyscrapers built in the last decade. More construction means more concrete, which in turn means more demand for concrete's essential ingredient, sand. But not all sand is good sand. The best concrete is mixed with rough sand. It helps the grains stick together to form a sturdier mix. This rough sand can't be found in deserts where the winds result in fine grains, so instead, it's found solely on beaches, under oceans, and buried within riverbeds. As a result, an enormous global market has emerged around mining and transporting sand. In India, the business is one of the country's primary industries and has grown so large it now supports its own black market. The scale of sand mining in the country has seen entire riverbeds destroyed, beaches eroded, and natural habitats upset, as ABC Australia reports.
This is a part of India that not everyone gets to enjoy. More and more people are moving to the cities, and the construction industry is booming. In the next 10 years, it's set to be in the top three in the world. And that's why sand is India's new gold.
Sand is the key to the construction industry, which employs more than 35 million people here. Prime Minister Narendra Modi has promised to build the equivalent of a new Chicago every year. That will take colossal amounts of concrete, and for concrete, you need sand. It's not just a problem here. Globally, demand far outstrips the legal supply of sand. But India is one of the worst offenders. With so much money to be made, riverbeds and beaches are being plundered.
But sand mining isn't just an international issue. Here in New Zealand, a number of sand mining operations extract sand from beaches and riverbeds across the country. A voluntary survey conducted by Petroleum and Oil New Zealand indicates more than 30 million tonnes of sand, rock and gravel is extracted in the country every year. And that number looks set to grow. Last year, Trans-Tasman Resources applied for a permit to extract 50 million tonnes of iron sand a year from a basin off the coast of Taranaki. The Environmental Protection Agency granted the request, but the issuing of the consent forms was successfully challenged by a number of interest groups in the local community, including Kiwis Against Seabed Mining. I spoke to chairperson for Kiwis Against Seabed Mining, Cindy Baxter, and began by asking her to explain how seabed mining worked.
They're mining it for minerals, and basically what they do is they suck up the seabed, take the minerals out, and usually deposit all the tailings back onto the seabed, creating dead zones.
And so you mentioned there that it creates dead zones. Would you be able to talk a little bit about maybe what some of the environmental issues raised by seabed mining are?
Well, the thing is, we don't have any seabed mining to a large extent yet. This is one of the things Kiwis Against Seabed Mining have been pointing out. If New Zealand was to embark on a whole lot of commercial seabed mining, it would be the first time it's happened on a really commercial scale. We argue that it's too early, that we don't have international rules in place, and that everyone should just wait a bit before we even think about starting it. Essentially, you know, you're digging up 50 million tonnes of the seabed a year for 35 years to extract 5 million tonnes of iron ore a year. So that's 50 million tonnes of the seabed that would be picked up and dumped back down. So essentially, there'd be nothing left. I mean, you know, it's absolute dead zones. But the other problem is also the sediment that's left in the water column. So it creates this what they call a plume, you know, and they really don't know how big that would be with that amount of disturbance of the seabed. They had these different models that were based on dodgy sediments and samples and things. It could kill krill. It could affect the phytoplankton. It could affect a whole lot of the marine ecosystem. And we also know that in the South Taranaki Bight, where they were going to mine the seabed, blue whales, it's like our, looks like we've got our own population of pygmy blue whales, and they eat the krill. So, you know, it's just, there's so many unknowns that what we wanted was a lot more certainty before, you know, before it was allowed to go ahead.
So you mentioned there a little bit about the legal dispute you're engaged in right now with that Trans-Tasman mining company. So it seems like the biggest motivating factor for that was simply that you don't believe that there's been enough research done into this area yet, and you don't agree with it being performed on such a large scale until we have more data. Is that correct?
The main thing here is that basically the company, this is the second time they applied for consent from the EPA to dig up the seabed. The first time around, they got told, no, there wasn't enough information, go away and do your homework. But the second time around, the only thing that changed really was the makeup of the EPA committee, the Environmental Protection Agency. Their decision that they made was they said, you don't have to go off and do the homework. You've got 2 years to do the monitoring to get all the baseline data about what's there. And then we'll put on a whole lot of conditions depending on what you find. It's sort of a suck it and see. Try it out, see what goes on, and then we'll adjust things as we go along. Now, that actually what we call adaptive management, which is actually illegal under the legislation covering our marine environment, and that's what the judge agreed with. So basically, you know, the suck it and see approach is unlawful, and they weren't allowed to do it, and the judge agreed with that. So the judges quashed the decision, which means it goes back to the EPA now to make another decision if it wants to, without being able to use that sort of approach.
Do you hope that this court case, other than just this specific instance, might also be not necessarily a warning sign, but a wake-up call to other industries and to the Environmental Protection Agency to take these issues more seriously?
What we had was an Environmental Protection Agency that had turned down two applications already. And the industry wasn't happy. So they leaned on the government, and the government leaned on the EPA. Now, trying to get consent for seabed mining in the New Zealand waters still hasn't happened, because this is the third one we've seen off. And it would create a big precedent. So this High Court decision, it has quashed the consent, but it's not that strong a decision. So we'll just see what happens.
Would you like to see more conversation around seabed mining? And do you think, as an issue, it deserves more publicity than it currently gets?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we get a fair amount of publicity when there's a big decision, when there's a consent, when it's granted, and when it isn't granted. But, you know, it's quite interesting to see the communities right along the coast are really, really concerned about it. But I think, you know, up in Auckland, people don't realise that it's the black sand that makes up Piha Beach, you know. And, you know, there used to be companies with, there were companies with permits right off Piha and Murawai. But they went away after the first consent got turned down. But that could all open up again.
Next year, the contract for a sand mining operation near Mangawai is set to renew. Cindy Baxter from Kiwis Against Seabed Mining says the group will be considering whether or not it will be appropriate to take action.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.